Hello and welcome to episode 16. It's 16, right? Or is it 15?
16.
I can't keep track anymore with the Just Keep Spinning podcast. This is Andre and I'm here with
Andrew.
And I just wanted to say hi and thank you guys for continuing to listen. And just for, you know, you guys are listening, but I don't know who you guys are. So we wish you guys would reach out to us and like email us or DM us. So you can find our Instagram at Just Keep Spinning Podcast. And then you can email us at justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com. We're curious who you guys are. Like when we look at where the listens are coming from, it's pretty interesting. I would say, you know, that it's just so weird because we do have, you know, obviously listens here in Arizona and Phoenix, but they're coming from elsewhere as well.
Yeah. Like we said before, reach out to us. We'd really like to hear, you know, you guys' feedback or just where you guys are at or just anything. Just say hello. We like when people say hello.
Yeah. And thank you to Stinkweeds, to Kimber for opening her doors and letting us interview Dario because she wasn't able to do the interview, but Dario was. And it was such an incredible interview. I felt like when we did that one, every interview is good. Like I feel good about most of them and I feel, you know, positive about everything. I have doubts about myself. I don't know if Andrew has doubts about himself, but I have doubts about myself thinking, you know, I know why I'm doing this, but sometimes it does feel like we always say, there's a lot of work that goes into it and we're going to keep on doing it. But I don't know, the interview from last week, which feels kind of off because we actually recorded the episode on Wednesday and we're used to recording our episodes on Sunday. So it's kind of like it's actually been over a week since we've recorded, right?
Yeah, so we recorded on a Wednesday night, and then we kind of just took the weekend off and then uploaded it on Sunday night like our normal night. But, you know, so it feels like it's forever since we've actually done this, but it hasn't been forever for us.
Yeah,
it has. Also, shout out to NBA Alexander for the week before. Thank you for letting us interview. That was a great interview. If you haven't listened to either one of those episodes, please give them a listen.
Yeah, and like I said, especially your interviews, there's just so much in there and so much that we learn about these people. Or, you know, the bands and just every single episode is a learning process. And every single episode, you know, we're so grateful that we have people listening. We're so grateful that we have people that agree to let us interview them. Because I feel like just getting people's stories is always interesting. And like we said, the podcast isn't supposed to be about him and I, about Andrew and I. It's supposed to be about community and other people and all that other stuff. So thanks guys for listening and thanks for anyone that has been able to come on. So we have some exciting stuff planned and lined up that obviously we'll talk about in the future when it gets there. So again, our Instagram is Just Keep Spinning Podcast and our email is justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com. You can subscribe, rate, and review pretty much anywhere podcasts are, I guess you can say. We're almost available, it seems like, on any platform, right?
Yes.
So, yeah. So go ahead and do that. And let me get into some events here really quick. So the first event I wanted to highlight is from the Hydrate Collective. So the Hydrate Collective is consisted of the infamous DJ Stony Pie, DJ Jamie Lee, Shady Baby, and Pootie Cat. So that's a pretty cool DJ name if you ask me. Pootie Cat, love it.
Pootie Cat,
love you, Pootie Cat. So they are the Hydrate Collective, and it's Hydrate Collective presents H2O Live, and it's at the Lunchbox, which is this Wednesday, September 26th, and it's 21+. So if you're in before 10:30, there's a $5 cover, but anytime after that, it says it's free. So I think that's going to be really cool. They're going to have a lot of good stuff going on. So I highly suggest you check that out. Another event that I did want to talk about is from our buddies, the Phoenix Funkettos. Our buddy Do Rocks in that collective. And so it's cool. Like there's all these, you know, little groups and collectives popping up, which I think is awesome. And there's room for everybody, like we always say. So this one is a Funk and Soul Night, and it's going to be at Crates Record and Gear, which is where we recorded episode 11 with Surge. And it's, so like I said, it's Friday, September 28th, 2018 at Crates Record and Gear, which is in Sunny Slope. And it's going to be from 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. And it's going to be a vinyl record set. So that's going to be pretty cool. So are we going to go to that?
I don't know if we're going to be able to make it out. I think one of us is going to try to make it out at least, just to show support to those guys. You know, Pinos Panqueros, and I believe the other group that's with them is like the Soldados. I think that's what they call themselves. I think they're just one collective.
Kind of like there's two divisions.
Yeah, and there's another gentleman that's going to be spinning with them. I think it's 520 Soul.
Yeah, it's D-Rock, Funk Machine, Mars One, Milky Lokes, which we always talk about Milky on here, 520 Soul, and Imperial Soul. So the funk side is obviously D-Rock, Funk Machine, and Mars One, and the soul side is Milky, 520 Soul, and Imperial Soul.
Yeah, that's all on all, just so if anybody doesn't understand, those are all Instagram names.
Yeah, so D-Rock, D-U-R-O-K, and then if you want to keep up with them, their Instagram is at Phoenix Funkeros. So Phoenix and then F-U-N-K-E-R-O-S, which I think is such a cool name. And the last event I actually wanted to highlight, and I guess it's a little shameless, but I'm going to highlight it anyways. I don't care. So our buddy Jeff Slim, also known as, his Instagram is the All Electric Kitchen. And it's so weird because people really do know each other by their social media handles. So the All Electric Kitchen, that is Jeff. So he has an exhibit coming up, and it's going to be at Grand Avenue Records. And that's actually going to be next week, which is first Friday, October 5th. And the Crate Creepers, which is the all ladies record club that I'm in. It's an all female record club that I'm in. Not a DJ collective because we don't have any DJ skills, but we do like to collect and play for people. We're going to be providing music that night. So I'm really excited about that. Jeff's art is really awesome. And, you know, hope you guys like some of the music that we select for that's going to be playing. And did you have any pickups this week, Andrew?
I did not have any pickups that, well, let's think. Any pickups at any stores? I don't believe so. I did buy something off of the homie off Instagram, but I will not talk about that until I receive them.
Yeah, I'm pretty curious about that. Did it ship yet?
Yes, it shipped. I already have the shipping number, so it should be here sometime next week. I think I might have something in the mailbox. I'm not really sure, but I do need to get it because I don't want it to melt.
Yeah, so this guy... I think we're like working, you know, he's at his job and I'm at mine, and he sends me a message, and it's just literally a screenshot of 45s, like a bunch of 45s, like in a collage. And I'm like, okay, what the heck is like, why are you sending this to me? So anyways, and he's like, oh, this guy has this and he's worth this much. And I'm like, okay, well, why are you telling me? And then he proceeds. So we found out that YouTube actually has a chat. Because
I was sending her videos, and then it was like, oh, so you can like chat in YouTube and like upload videos. It's probably something that has to do with Google, but yeah, if you want to chat with your homies on YouTube with the YouTube video, I guess you can do that now. I guess they've gotten to that level.
Yeah, so he was sending me certain songs that were in kind of basically for sale. And he's like, oh, and I'm like, okay, that's, and they were, you know, they're all good. But I was just like, okay, that's nice. And so he's waiting on those. So I'm excited to see really what's in there. So I'm not sure who he bought them from. And I don't even know if he remembers the Instagram name. But when they come in, we'll be sure to let you guys know what was in there and who we got them from. And as for myself, I think the only thing I've gotten was I went to Trill and I picked up some 12 inches and some LPs that were there, and they had some pretty good stuff. Like, if you really want to buy, I mean, you have to dig a little. There's a little spot like where it's digging and not just kind of like looking. They had some new stuff there. I've never been to Trill. It's on 24th Street and or 25th Street in Indian School, I believe. And it's just a cool shop. It's a, Serge actually had mentioned Trill, and I've heard of it. And Serge was saying how Trill is like a true actual like hip hop like graph shop, and he was not lying. But there's so much cool stuff in there. They have like pins of like, I wanted to get this Busta Rhymes pin, but I was already basically checking out, and I was like, I'm gonna come back and I'll come back and buy the Busta Rhymes pin because my daughter wants it. So you know, music videos nowadays aren't what they used to be. So every once in a while, my daughter and I will sit down and watch old music videos. So she really loved Busta Rhymes' music videos because the visuals are just insane. So she really wanted that Busta Rhymes pin. But they have socks in there, Supreme. They sell sneakers. They have you know, anything that you think of that has to do with hip hop and like graph, they pretty much have you covered. And the guys in there, they were super nice and helpful. They were cool. So if you're in the area or if you're into hip hop or graph, I definitely recommend going to Trill and picking up some stuff. And like I said, they had some really, really good 12 stuff that I don't really see out digging anywhere else, because it looks like they got a DJ collection in. And I don't know, just go check it out. It's a really cool place. So I picked up some 12s and some LPs from there. And
if you're located in Phoenix.
Yeah, if you're located in Phoenix. And I believe, let me double check what their Instagram is so you can follow them, because like I said, they have some really cool stuff. And I just want to make sure that people are able to really like see what the store is about. Yeah, it's Trill PHX for Phoenix. So TRILLPHX. And yeah, they're on 25th Street and Indian School. So the art supplies, streetwear, records, and more. So it's really cool. And but I think that I've been trying to be good. And the one thing I do want to pick up that I'm going to force Andrew tomorrow to go to Stinkweed, because I wasn't able to make it, is Daptone came out with this specific 45, and it's, you cannot buy it online. Like, they specifically pressed it, and it says on there, literally, support your local record store, like on the label of the 45. And it's, of course, the Dap Kings, and the song is Tear It Down. That's one of the sides that I can see. And I don't know, I just thought it was cool, especially because it says support your local record store on it. You can't really beat that. Like, did you get to see that? Did I send it to you?
Yeah, I seen it. I haven't got a chance to listen to the song, but I'm going to go pick it up when I have a chance.
Yeah, I don't even think you need to listen to the song. First of all, it's the Dap Kings, okay? And second of all, it's Daptone. And I don't know, the label's just cool. It's just like one of those things you want to hang up or...
Yeah, I think it's super
display,
neat.
Display, so...
Did we do anything this weekend?
Oh, I didn't do anything this weekend. There was a lot of stuff that I did miss. I wanted to see Kelly Uchis. I wanted to go to Lauryn Hill. I heard she was 2.5 hours late, which I was counting on that. I didn't do those things. I wanted to go to La Finiqueta, which was today. You know, we always have so much going on. The main thing that I did, though, that made up for me missing all of that was I saw Queen Bee, Beyonce. Which I don't really like to call her Queen Bee because that makes me think of Little Kim, but my daughter is obsessed with her and calls her that. So Andrew didn't go with me. I took my 13-year-old daughter, and it was really fun. The crowd was crazy. DJ Khaled was there. I know he's really corny, but he was there. And he
DJ Khaled.
So he knows his audience. That's what I always say. Like, he knows what people want, and he gives it to them. And people are perfectly happy with that. The one of the weird things was, so you've heard of his son, Asad, right? His baby?
Yes.
I think he's like maybe 2 or something. And there's a part where he's like, I'm a father. And you know, my son, Asad. And people just lost it. Like, they were just like, oh my God, is Asad here? Oh my God. Like, as if he's going to come out and actually do something. I'm like, he's a baby. Like... I don't know. I just thought it was weird that they were getting so excited that this, you know, famous baby or not, but that this baby was going to be there. So anyhow, that was interesting. I didn't get to see the opening at Chloe and Halle like I wanted to because the traffic was just really bad. But I heard that they were good. But I did get to see Jay-Z and Beyonce. So the interesting part that I keep telling everybody, because it's like, how was it? I'm like, obviously it was good. But it was like going to a Jay-Z concert that Beyonce popped in to every once in a while versus Beyonce and Jay-Z together or Beyonce featuring Jay-Z, which I think is weird because Jay-Z was just here either at the beginning of this year or the end of last year. So on his 444 tour. So I mean, I like Jay-Z. I can't say I'm totally obsessed with him like other people. Being a Beyonce fan doesn't make me like Jay-Z anymore, to be honest, because I've been listening to Jay-Z longer than I've been listening to Beyonce. He played a lot of the hits. There was some hits that I wish he would have played, like Hard Knock Life. He didn't play that. He didn't play Can I Get A... and there's one more, but he did play Song Cry, which I was totally excited that he played that one because that's off of his first LP, Reasonable Doubt. So, and he was really good. He has good energy. The crowd was working with him. He played in Paris, and it seemed kind of like he was digging at Kanye a little bit. You know, he sang maybe the first few verses of like Kanye's part, and he just let everybody else sing the rest of it. So that was interesting. It was the stadium was literally shaking. Like, it was crazy, and the visuals are beautiful. The money that they invested into the screens, and I want to know what the resolution and definition was of the cameras and everything, because it was just so pretty. So I don't know. I feel like they know what people want, and they're delivering it, and they did a really good job. So that was pretty much the extent of what I did for that. And what else did we do though?
Tres Leches reopened, like, their soft opening this week.
Yeah, so Tres Leches Cafe. So they're now located on 17th Avenue, right? 17th Avenue in Van Buren. So what's really cool is, so they still have the open turntable format, and it's way bigger though. Because what were some of the, like, the feedback that they would get from visitors?
Usually it was just because they were located in, like, a very small house, like a historic home. So it got quite warm in there because of all the, like, the equipment they used, like refrigerators and ice machines and things like that. And it was very, very small. So, you know, in Arizona here, it gets pretty hot. So any home that you're in that is above, you know, that doesn't have proper air conditioning, or has air conditioning but you can't cool it down, it just sucks. So it was kind of, sometimes it was kind of, you know, uncomfortable, I guess you can say, in there. And, you know, Dre would be spinning there for 4 hours, like, on Saturday night. So it would be pretty rough sweating.
Yeah, and it honestly was kind of something the cafe couldn't even help, because we lived down the street from the cafe at the time. We lived there for quite a while. And the house that we lived in was built in, I believe, the 40s. So that freaking house was so hot during the summer and be so cool during the winter. So we'd have to constantly blast the AC. But there was times there were just spots in the house that was just hot, which sucked too, because you'd have to make sure, you'd have to put the records a certain place, because you can't put them anywhere because the heat was just insane in there. So the set just moved, and it's way bigger. It's almost divided into three sections. So there's a section specifically where the turntables are at, and it actually has like a freaking strobe disco light thing, right?
Yeah.
It's not disco, it's strobe light.
Well, it has one of those, like, lights that, like, change colors and stuff like that.
Yeah, so if you want to get down at Club Tres Leches, you can. And, you know, they're always open. Like I said, anyone could come, you know, if you bring your records and talk to them at the front. If someone's not there already at the tables, you can say, hey, I heard that I can come and bring my records and play, and I really want to play this, and they'll be able to help you with that. So I think that's, you know, a big part of the podcast. Like we always say, is community, and that's something that he does. The owner offers to the community. We interviewed him, I believe, episode 3 or 4, ET. So he kind of talked about his journey and stuff with the cafe. So he even has more to add now to his story, because he's in that new location. And I'm excited. So I'm going to be back spinning there again. I'm not sure what day. I'm going to figure that out. But when I do, I'll let you guys know. And not just me, but the group I'm in, the Crate Creepers, they'll be there as well. So kind of just playing some music for you guys.
And so on this day in music, Billboard Hot 100, I chose something that everyone knows, something we lived through. I know that we don't like I try to stay away from the 90s and the early 2000s, but
what I told you. I was like,
yeah, Dre, I was just like, don't, you're just going to use them all up. But thankfully, you know, we only have we only have two episodes with six, so I'm just going to do it this one this time. I mean, I think it's going to work out just fine, but, you know, I just like to do something. I like to do the songs we know and that are universally known. And this one, you better know. So we'll do the top. What do you want? Which ones do you want to do? Do top? You want to do top 10? Okay, do top 10. Honorable mention, just honorable mention, Tupac featuring Casey and JoJo. How Do You Want It?
I actually have that song on 12, and I love to blast it.
So number 10 was Alanis Morissette, You Learn, You Oughta Know. Number 9, No Mercy, Where Did You Go?
I don't even know that song. Maybe I heard it, but I don't recognize it.
Number 8, Toni Braxton, You're Making Me High, Let It Flow.
I love that song.
LL Cool J, Laughing. Eric Clapton, Changes the World.
I remember that song because when I heard it, I was like, it sounds like a Babyface song, doesn't it?
Yeah. Quad City DJs, Come On Ride the Train.
Come on, oh, ride choo it. Choo! That Woo. One.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one.
yeah, that's so I was like doing my horrible singing right now and he just hit the volume.
Number four, your boy Keith Sweat with Twisted.
Oh, I love that song. It's so beautiful.
Number three, Celine Dion, It's All Coming Back to Me Now.
I know that song. And that video, it's like really, everybody should go look up that video. It's like so corny, but it's so lovely because it's so of that time and it's like a ghost. Like she's like lusting after this ghost that used to be. But anyways, go on.
Number two, Donna Lewis, I Love You Always Forever.
How does that one go?
I have no idea, but it's number two on the Hot 100 list. I don't know what it is.
I'm going to have to look that up.
But number one, September 23rd, 1996.
Okay, 1996. Is it a girl group?
No. Do you have a guess, though?
So is it a woman?
No.
So there's no woman singing on this track?
Like, there's not a woman on this track at all.
So what's number one?
Yes. Are you ready?
Is it California Love?
No. I already said a Tupac song.
Okay, but that, how is, are you going to have two Tupac songs in the top 10?
No, it is not it.
No, is it a rap song?
No, it is not.
It's a guy song. A guy. Male.
It's a they are male singing, yes.
Is it Boyz II Men?
No.
But is it like more R&B or rock?
I'm just going to go ahead and tell you.
Tell me R&B or rock.
No, it's God. Not either one of those.
Oh. How is it not R&B or rock? Like, what else is going on?
Let me just tell you what it is. So,
is it rap?
September 23rd, 1996, Hot 100 this week. Number one, Los Del Rio, Macarena.
Oh my God, I would have not get. My tata hates that. Like, I cannot express to you, like, when that was the Macarena or whatever, the Macarena, when it was like a thing, my tata thought it was so stupid because he's like, oh, all they did, he's all, this is already a song, and then they took it, and then they're trying to make it into something else that people like, and it's already been done, and he was angry. Like, even if you ask him now, he just hates the Macarena, and he thinks it's stupid.
So what's our main topic for today?
Our main topic is actually compilations. So we've kind of touched on compilations a little bit before, because we've discussed things like East Side Story and our Repress versus OG episode. Because we're like, you know, do you want the original East Side Story or do you want, because they're currently being reissued. No, or they're currently being, yeah, reissued because they're from the CD compilations that are being reissued, not the actual records that were, because if you want to get technical, if it was a repress, that means that it would be repressing literally to the T exactly the other records, but it's repressing the East Side Story comps from the CDs. So anyhow, but that's a big famous compilation is East Side Story. Can you think of any other famous compilations?
The main compilations I remember are like back when we were like in high school. It wasn't even like records back then. It was the Punk-O-Rama. Do you remember Punk-O-Rama?
Oh my gosh, yes, Punk-O-Rama or Punk.
I used to buy like Punk-O-Rama, all those.
Pop Goes Punk.
Yeah, Pop Goes Punk.
Pop Goes Acoustic.
Yeah, those compilations were awesome.
Well, technically, now that's what I call music, those ones.
Yeah, now you would see those on fucking Nickelodeon all the time.
Mm-hmm. Look at really? You're thinking of Kids Bop.
Oh, well, same thing.
Now that's what I call music. They would take like basically all the number one like hits, hot songs from a certain amount of time in the year, and they would throw them on a CD.
Yeah, I remember those, and they were really expensive. And they had, I remember there was times where they were like at like 90 and stuff. And I don't know if they still make them. I'm sure they still do.
Yeah, those actually started in the UK. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. That's weird.
Yeah, they had been on like number gazillion already in the UK when they started them here. So I'm gonna have to look. I'm gonna have to see if they still actually make those. But I know they still make Kids Bop.
Yes. So usually compilations are, you know, there's a couple different ones. Greatest Hits, box sets, or obviously various artists. Or, you know, it's or like Greatest Hit. But the most ones that everyone knows is Greatest Hits. In my Greatest Hits or like various artists.
Yeah, like things like some other like actual popular compilations from when we were younger that I can remember that were played in my family were like not just the East Side Story necessarily, but more of like the old school, like the Lowrider magazine ones, and it have all like the slow jam love song type stuff.
Yeah, I've mentioned that the Lowrider love songs was like one of my favorite comp CDs that I had back in the day, or Lowrider jams or whatever it is.
Yeah, which those things are now, even the CDs and the cassettes.
Yeah, they're hard to come across, but yeah, those I remember those ones. Like I said, the Punk-O-Rama. My parents always had Greatest Hits. Marvin Gaye Greatest Hits.
Marvin Gaye.
I said Gay. Earth, Wind, and Fire Greatest Hits.
SOS Band.
SOS
Band.
All that stuff we had Greatest Hits of. You know those, and you know, growing up on that music, Parliament Greatest Hits. Growing up on that music, it's just, you know, that's how you kind of learn it. And as you progress in age, and you know, everyone goes through their phases of music they're listening to. And you know, back when I was like really into like punk and stuff like that, greatest hits or like I said, comps of like the record label, because Epitaph was the one who did Punk-O-Rama.
Yeah, they did do all those like punk goes. Wait, Epitaph did
Punk-O-Rama, okay. I think, yeah. And then they had like the Vans Warped Tour comps, and those are the other ones I always had.
Which was the one with the boot on it?
Give them the boot.
Yes, I had one of those. I think it was Volume 2, and it had blue, and there was like it was the Distillers. I can't even remember who was on it right now, but I did listen to the Tiger Army.
I think that was on Hellcat Records, which is yes. Like a subsidiary of Epitaph at the time.
Yes, Hellcat, you're right.
But yeah, so you know, those are. I remember, you know, obviously high school's where you're like you. Kind of have your identity of music for a short amount of time, and so those are the ones I remember the most. But like, you know, even now as you know, someone who buys records, you know, we buy records pretty, you know, all the time. But comps are something that I always try to, you know, if there's a comp out there, I'm gonna seek that out of like a group, because I want to hear what that group has to offer. One of the records that we had that we're both talking about is what's it called?
I'm not sure what you're talking about. The records that we both had?
No, the one that we're both listening to right now.
Oh, the Basement Beehive, yeah, from the Preservation Project. That one has, I think, like 60 songs or something like that. And that was just, it's so good. And it's not one certain type of girl group. It's just anything from girl groups. It's like some soul in there. There's some like the bubblegum style. It's all different kind of stuff that imitates like the whole Wall of Sound with Phil Spector, that kind of thing. And it really does take you for a ride. And there's not one song on there I don't like, but there's definitely a few tracks that really stand out and that I'm like, dang, I wish I had a 45 of this. But I know here locally, two places you can for sure pick it up is at Zia Records and at Stinkweeds. So both of those record stores here in Phoenix carry, and if you're in Tucson, you know, because Zia is in Tucson and Vegas as well, actually. They carry that, the Basement Beehive, and I'm kind of upset with myself that I haven't gone out and got it. I had such a busy weekend. I did stop by Trill, but I didn't get to stop and get that. But I know it's something that's going to be kind of readily available. Another actually good place that puts out compilations is Culture of Sound. They're the one that the J-pop one I have, the J-pop disco funk boogie.
Yeah. Yeah, they do actually really, like, really, really unique, like, different things. Aren't they the ones that put out, like, the soundtracks, too, as well?
No, that's, like, Mondo, and I can't remember who the other one is right now. I can't remember off the top of my head, but Culture of Sound, yeah, they take a lot of really neat, like, almost sometimes obscure type stuff, and they just make these amazing compilations, and it comes with a lot of info on the records. Like, it has info on the artists and on the songs. But compilations, like he's saying, is a really good way to really get to know if you kind of want to learn more about an artist's discography. Another good thing that I do like to get as well is, have you ever seen like the album samplers? Like, I have the Usher Confessions one where it's not the full Confessions album, but it has like select tracks from Confessions. I love those as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's I think we also have like a Tupac one that's just like, I think it might have been All Eyes on Me, and there's like five or six songs of each track. because I think that was a 4 CD release. I can't really remember, but I remember there was a shitload of songs when it released out. Like, I think it was like 90 something. I can't remember what year, but I think Believe the All Eyes on Me, we have one of those that has like, I think 10 tracks of like the 28 tracks that was released.
I'm trying to think. I know I have some other ones. One of the greatest hits that I just picked up actually at Trill, it was a Big Boi and Dre Presents Outkast, and it had a bunch of, you know, their big hits up until about 2001. So that, I just like buying those because I was like, I can, you know, I do like to buy 12s and 45s and stuff because I like to play, but I mean, I can play, since I'm not like actually DJing, I'm just kind of playing music for people, I can play off of an LP. I'm sorry, Andrew's is making me laugh with this movie right now. So I can play off of an LP. So I was like, I can either get the 12 of this Outkast song, or I can play a few bucks more and I can get the greatest hits. Which I was like, you know what? Because that one song that I really wanted is on the greatest hits. So I was like, I might as well just get the freaking, you know, might as well just get the compilation, because like I said, I'm not a DJ. I'm not sitting here and mixing and doing all this crazy stuff. I'm just playing music for people. That way, I don't know, that way I like to play that at home. It's always nice because sometimes you want to hear a complete album by an artist, but sometimes you do just like want to hear the familiar songs.
Yeah. The other thing that, one of the things that I always encourage people to buy, especially when you're like, you're first starting out collecting, there's people always say there's certain artists that you should be listening to. One of them is the Beatles. I always recommend people getting the red and the blue Beatles LPs. No, it's
Meet the Beatles, right?
No, it's just like from like 1960 to 1966 and 1966 to like 1970. They're just those, like, all their hits from that time period. And obviously they had a shitload of hits during that time period. So, you know, if you're going to like, if you're just getting into collecting and you really want to be, you know, kind of be in the mix of what most people are listening to, I recommend getting those Beatles LPs if you want to like try to listen to the Beatles.
So I actually just, what's funny, so I just remembered, we had a compilation, it's called Super Hits Volume 2, and it had a lot of like mainstream, like Motowny, like soul style stuff. And so I didn't want to sell it, and I can't remember why we just decided selling it. And I actually bought it. Most of the songs on there we actually have, like, on 45 and stuff. So, but I initially bought it because the cover was just so cool. And it had drawings of, like a drawing of, like, Aretha and all this other stuff to represent some of the artists in the individual songs on the compilation. So we ended up having it. We sold it to somebody. And that person, literally, it was less than, what, like 30 seconds or something?
Yeah, we're at an event and we sold it to a different vendor. He's like, you know, do you mind if I buy this for my store? And I'm like, sure, you're more than welcome to buy it for your store. Take it. He had bought it and then took it back to his table and like kept it in.
Desi.
Yeah, he kept it in his little personal stash of stuff that he was taking back to the store. And a customer came in and was like, hey, what is that behind there? And he was like, oh, that's a comp. She's like, can I see it? And he's like, sure. So he hands it to her, and she's like, can I buy this? And he's like, I was going to take it back to my store, but sure, I'll sell it to you. And, you know, I don't frown upon people, you know, who are... He basically sold it for, like, a couple extra bucks that he bought it from us. And
he bought it for us for like, literally dollars.
Yeah,
like,
it was a couple bucks.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was so, you know, that was... it was a really good comp. On both events that we did, we played that comp twice. Like, we would play both sides of it, and we always got compliments like, what is that? I'm like, oh, it's a comp that we just so happened to find at some store.
I actually found that at a record show at, you know, the Tracks and Wax one.
Yeah.
And actually the next event is September 29th. It's going to be the Saturday.
Oh.
So we might go to that, but that's where I found that compilation. And like I said, the main reason I bought it was because I liked the cover art, because I thought it was cool, because it had the actual illustrations that whoever designed that cover ended up doing for it. But the person that ended up buying it, you know, she felt like, you know, I'm starting to collect, you know, I have like a record player. And I had told her, I'm like, you know, this is a good way for you to really get some stuff. I'm like, because like we always say, people will tell you, the right way to buy or collect, or you need to do this or you need to have that. But really at the end of the day, it's like, sometimes you just got to do what's more cost effective. So compilations are a good cost effective thing. She ended up buying that and she loves it and she played it, and she actually came through the cafe, I believe it was like that next weekend, and she played it there and she loved it. So shout out to Lisa, because that's actually who bought it.
Shout out to Lily.
Yeah, shout out to little Lily, Lily602. So she's actually the one that bought the compilation. But I always think that they're a wonderful way to, especially we have a cool like Motown comp, right? Like it's kind of like Motown throughout the years, and has more than two.
Yeah, it's right over there, actually, right behind you on that shelf. It's like a two or three like disc set. We got it at, what was it? Was it called Record Revival? Remember that one that was like in a house?
Are you sure we didn't buy that at Zia?
We bought that at Record Revival because I remember he was like, oh, well, I was about to put this on eBay. And I was like, well, I want to buy it right now, so just sell it to me. And he's like, well, I don't know. And I had to talk him into selling it to me. Record Revival was one of those record stores that lasted a little bit of time and then kind of dwindled. And no longer exists here in Phoenix, which is really weird because not very many record stores actually opened then immediately closed. He only lasted about a year.
Yeah, and that was located on 7th Street in Osborne. We used to live like right there, so we were really excited when that place opened. And they had some cool stuff in there, and they had like a good dollar section. Remember, guys, don't sleep on the dollar section. And that's actually where you can find a lot of compilations, is in the dollar section.
Yeah, even like a genre of music that you're not too familiar with that you kind of want to get into. I'm not too like familiar with jazz or if they have compilations, but I'm sure if you really want to get into jazz, you can listen to some compilations and there'll be some good stuff in there for you to listen to. I mean, as a collector, you want to have a specific song or a specific album that everyone recommends. But from someone who's just starting out, you know, compilations, greatest hits, even a box set of an artist you really like would be something that's going to be really beneficial for you to buy.
Or I know on, is it Southwest Side Story? It's a compilation that's very similar to like East Side Story. There's a song on there called, it's by the Aces, right?
Which song? What's it called?
What's it what?
What's it called?
I can't remember. It's, you play it all the time.
Sunny, is it called Little Girl?
Yes, is that by the Aces?
It's Sunny and the Aces, little yeah. Girl, yeah, it's like the opening track on that.
And the 45 is really expensive.
Right? I've never even seen that. Like, you know, I'm on Discogs looking for that. It's on my want list and I can't even find it. It's just one of those super duper rare songs that someone owns a copy of, or owns like a, someone out there has, and they were able to get on vinyl.
On the record, yeah. So, but if you sometimes you're like a 45 hunter and you're looking and you really want this soul song, and you're like, you know, I've heard this and I've heard it played on the radio, or it's on these, you know, these compilations of CDs for oldies and all the other stuff, you know what, just go ahead, and if there's a record compilation out there that has it, you know, just buy it. Don't be like, oh no, I want it on 45. Like, obviously you do, but you know, if you really actually want to get the song, you'll just buy the record and you'll continue to search for the 45, because buying it on the compilation isn't going to 100% quench your thirst for wanting it. Because if it's like your 45 collector, they're different types of people. But I mean, just no shame in compilations, because I see some people that are like, oh, no, I don't waste my time on those. I'm like, you know, you're missing out. They're a good way, even if you look at a comp and you're like, I like one or two songs on here and I don't really know the rest of them, you putting that comp on and listening to it all the way through, you'll be able to discover new music that way. I don't know. I like compilations that really snapshot the time, like of the 60s or the 70s. I love disco comps because I love disco, but I don't know much about it. And when I see like a lot of like disco comps, I always buy them. And honestly, they never disappoint me. And there's almost never anything on there that I don't like.
Yeah, disco comps are one of those things where like you can have a lot of different music that you're familiar with that, you know, gets you going.
Yeah, because like funk is really making, bless you, funk is really making,
sorry,
has, you know, it's not really, it has its, I mean, it's never died, it's always had those people dedicated to it, but more people into it, like funk is really strongly making a bigger presence, I guess, in the community. but people sleep on disco, and disco was so amazing that the musicians at that time and the people just creating the music, they were just insane. Like,
yeah, I mean, the bass lines and just the percussion, everything. I just think disco gets a bad rap because it was kind of corny at the time.
And I think our generation didn't really understand it, right?
Yeah, so I really didn't understand disco until I got older. Until a few, like, probably about 4 or 5 years ago. And I was like, wow, man, this, you know, like, I did not appreciate disco, but, like, I always, like, never really listened to it. And then about 4 or 5 years ago, I started really, really appreciating, like, what disco has to offer. And it's really, really good. Some of it's really bad, but some of it's really good.
But even the, like, a lot of the singers at that time were just so phenomenal. And, oh, my God, I love disco. But I always buy disco comps when I see them. And to discover new artists that maybe they're well-known if you're really into disco. But if you're more like a disco newbie like me, you won't really know them. Or maybe you'll know a song, but not really the artist. But they're a good way to discover new music. So another... I mean, would you consider some soundtracks or compilations?
Yeah, I was going to mention that earlier. Soundtracks, I think if it's a good soundtrack, I mean, there's obviously some soundtracks are just all instrumentals. But, you know, depending on, I think more in the 80s, there was like a lot of those soundtracks that had like the different songs, or they had a signature song, which was funny because we were just talking about that recently.
Yeah, so but there can be two types of soundtracks, because there can be like the formal one, like a Hans Zimmer style, where it's like an actual score to the movie. And then there can be like the Twilight, like how Twilight, even though I don't give a crap about Twilight, but they had really good soundtracks to Twilight, like the songs that were either originally made for the movie or songs that artists ended up, you know, just being like, oh, you can use this for the movie. So just because maybe a movie looks kind of cheesy or corny, like, don't sleep on the soundtrack, because it actually might be some really good stuff on there. Something that I wish would really be pressed is Danny Elfman's full discography.
Yeah, Danny Elfman did a lot of scores for a lot of different movies, and he wrote a lot of music, and it's all really, really good.
He's the singing voice of Jack Skellington. Come on, guys. Like, don't you want to hear that?
Yeah, I mean, right now, I think the current trend, there was an artist who just recently produced a soundtrack for a movie. Do you remember who that is? Not Kendrick Lamar, that he did Black Panther, but there was somebody else after him.
Well, after him?
Yeah, I could have sworn. Sorry, guys. I know that sounds kind of cheesy, but, you know, Kendrick Lamar produced and did everything for the Black Panther soundtrack, and it is an excellent soundtrack.
Well, did he produce all of it, or did he? Because there's a difference, like, there's the Hunger Games. I think the second soundtrack was curated by Lorde.
Okay,
but
well,
she didn't produce it. But I think he might have produced a lot of it, because he's actually on like pretty much every song.
Yeah, I think he might have produced. I don't know if he produced them, but I know he's featured in all of them and curated most of the artists. And he had his hands in pretty much all of that. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. DM, email, whatever. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure. But I could have sworn there was another artist. I can't remember who it is. But again, yeah, if you guys know who I'm talking about, then, you know, DM, email, whatever.
I don't know who he's talking about. I'm like, I've been so bad with movies lately, I can't really think. But like another popular soundtrack lately was Baby Driver.
Yeah. I never heard the Baby Driver soundtrack, nor have I watched the movie, but I hear it was really, really good.
Someone's probably like, How do you even have this podcast and you're listening to that? But I'm like, we don't have enough time in the day. That's why.
When you're out there buying and digging and looking for other stuff, Baby Driver's just readily available. So we're not necessarily hating on it at all, but we just haven't got to it yet. I mean, we're barely catching up to the 70s right now and the music we're listening to sometimes.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think compilations, sometimes people look down on them, but I think they're awesome. And like I said, a good way to find those compilations. And then those dollar bins, I find stuff in the dollar bin that you'd be surprised. And you're like, why is this in here? Or either this place isn't too savvy how to price things, or they just don't care. Because you'd be surprised some of the stuff I found in the dollar bin, let me tell you.
Yeah, so keep hitting those crates, guys, and look for those compilations in those dollar bins.
Yeah, and even at Zia, like Zia's dollar section is ginormous. Any Zia you go to, so it's usually at the, I mean, you, the way Zias are, from what it seems like, obviously they all have their own style and personality. So at the top, it's usually like the newerish stuff. And then sometimes even at the bottom, there'll be new stuff. But a lot of times there's like a good section, like a row or two, where the bottom is just literally like, and not even their clearance, like literally just dollar stuff. And if you go through there, and I find a lot of actually disco in there, even not compilations, just stuff, because I guess people don't want disco right now. But there's a lot of things that you could find in there that are really good. And like I said, compilations, they're good gateways to other music. And jazz, I've been super interested in jazz. I don't know much about it, like he's saying, I'm in the same boat as him. And I'm currently seeking out kind of some jazz comps and stuff like that. Like, everybody knows the classic standards, but kind of delving deep more into things to really, I like to put a music like I like that one, to just kind of like unwind when I don't want to get my mind going and I kind of want to wind down. And compilations too are just a good way to have some background noise sometimes. One of my favorite compilations is those Halloween ones where it has like all the creepy scary sounds, and those are actually pretty relaxing to listen to, kind of put some noise in your home. And anything else you want to say?
Just want to shout out Sugar Steve.
Oh my god, yes, Sugar Steve has been turning me on to so much good music. So his Instagram handle is Sugar Steve, and he's actually Steve from, he's an engineer, and he does basically all of the engineering for the Roots and other various artists. He's the sound engineer on the Jimmy Fallon show. He featured me as his, what he calls them, the celeb sugar of the day, and chatting with sugar. So I don't know, Sugar Steve is just super cool. And I always, it's funny because I always would listen to, I've mentioned it before, one of the big inspirations for the podcast was Questlove Supreme, and he's on there. So it was pretty interesting, and I was all super excited. You can ask my husband. I got a DM from him, and that was his little celeb sugar of the day. So shout out to Sugar Steve. And like we said, if you're, whoever is out there listening, let us know. We're just curious. We want to know who's out there. I know it sounds kind of weird. You're like, why do you care? I'm like, I just want to know, because personally, I don't know any much people on a personal basis, honestly, that listen to the podcast. So that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, okay, who's out there listening? And there's someone out there in Avondale that's listening. I don't know who you are. Might be Sean. Might be Caitlin. Not sure. But
might be Brett.
I don't think it's Brett. But whoever you are, let us know, Avondale. Because every time I see that pop up, it's like,
Yeah, so, yes, come say hi to us, guys. You know, but either way, we really, really appreciate your continued support. We're going to keep doing this regardless if you guys listen or not, because this is something we decide that we want to do, to put it out there for people. And we kind of like to put our thoughts out there for anyone to listen to, who, because there's a lot of like-minded people out there, and there's a lot of people who don't have the same ideals or ideas or outlook on compilations like this week that we do. But, you know, we do this for whoever wants to listen. And so anybody who does listen and gives us your time, like, you know, this is a little bit of a shorter episode, but, you know, it doesn't really matter what, you know, any time you guys dedicate to this, we really, really greatly appreciate the support.
Yeah, and we're going to try to get back out there soon to do another event, so that way we can kind of share music with you guys. The Instagram handle is Just Keep Swinging Podcast. The email is justkeepswinningpodcast@gmail.com. If you want your music featured, which we're going to actually feature some music soon by someone that did send it to us, you can go ahead and email us a file, touch base with us, and we can include it in the podcast. If you want to be a guest on the podcast, go ahead and let us know. We do have an interview coming up from next week, so we have that to look forward to, and I'm really excited for that. And I guess on that note, like we said, thank you so much for listening. Thank you to anybody that is listening. Please subscribe, rate, and review if you can. And don't stop digging, and just keep swinging.
Thanks, guys.